Hello, and welcome to another edition of KPFK Matters, a program to discuss with listeners of the coming changes of Pacifica's governance and bylaws. These changes will directly affect the rights of listeners to have a say in what happens at Pacifica Radio in the future. These changes to Pacifica's bylaws will determine whether Pacifica will be able to sustainably meet its mission and to provide a platform for the expansion of democratic media in an ever more corporate, monopolistic media landscape. Hello, my name is Paula Solomon, and co-hosting here with me is, in the studio, Fernando Velasquez.
Yes, we'd like to welcome you today to a discussion about how the National Board of Directors of the Pacifica Foundation will be chosen and the role of listeners in that process. The Board of Directors have ultimate authority over responsibility for all the operations of the Foundation and are ultimately responsible for the health of the network. We'll be having a discussion with several well-informed guests during the first half hour of the show, and then we will be opening up the phones for unscreened listener calling. But first, a bit of background.
The prolonged struggle at Pacifica to let listeners know about what was happening at Pacifica and to give them a voice in it culminated in a legal settlement signed in December of 2001. The charges raised in the lawsuit were, among other things, that the National Board had acted illegally when it changed Pacifica's bylaws to make the National Board entirely self-selecting. The settlement mandates that new bylaws be created that provide for elections for local boards at each of the five member stations. These bylaws must describe the role of the listeners in the election of the local boards, and they must also describe how the National Board of Directors is chosen. Pacifica is unusual in the world of community broadcasting in that it is a network rather than a single station.
In fact, networks are uncommon not only in community radio, but in public radio more generally. Most stations are independent. An exception is Minnesota Public Radio and its offspring, Southern California Public Radio, who operate radio station KPCC in Pasadena. Although many people think of National Public Radio, or NPR, as a network, it is actually a program service, not a network. NPR does not own stations. Pacifica and Minnesota Public Radio do. Pacifica was, for many years, the only national network in the public radio universe, but in coming years, in part due to the support of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for an ever more commercial model of success in public broadcasting, it is likely that we will see an increase in the networking of public radio stations and more national distribution of programming.
So what does it mean to have a community radio station that is part of a network? More to the point for today's discussion, what should be the relationship of listeners to each local station area to a structure of national governance of the foundation? As you think about this, consider that we are talking about creating something that has never existed before, a democratically governed national broadcast media institution.
At the moment, after years of centralization of control at Pacifica, the basic flow of authority is as follows. The National Board chooses the National Executive Director. The Executive Director has the authority to hire and fire the managers at the local station. And the managers have authority over all operations at the local stations. This basic structure is likely to change, and we will be discussing many of those issues in future programs.
Today we want to consider the question whether listener sponsors of Pacifica stations should directly elect the National Board of Directors. Two main proposals have been put forth for electing the National Board. First, that listeners should directly elect the members of the National Board of Directors. And second, that listeners should elect local boards, and that local boards should in turn elect the members of the National Board.
Joining us for this discussion are Carol Spooner, on the line from Santa Rosa. Carol is the secretary of the Interim Pacifica National Board, or IPNB, and she is chair of the Bylaws Revision Committee of the IPNB. She had just posted a draft version of bylaws for Pacifica for public review and comment. You can find it at www.pacifica.org or www.wbai.net. Also, joining us here in Los Angeles, Jonathan Markowitz, a member of the local bylaws subcommittee, and from New York, longtime local board member and labor programmer at WBAI, Mimi Rosenberg. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
We'd like to encourage listeners to glance at the bylaws proposal under discussion. They can be viewed online at wbai.net. Carol Spooner is the secretary of the Interim Pacifica National Board and brought what is called the listener's lawsuit against the former national board.
Now we go to Carol Spooner.
Carol, your new bylaw proposal allows listeners to elect bodies that have some powers similar to those of the local station's governing boards for each of Pacific stations in the area. Your proposal names the members of these local board of directors of the Pacifica Foundation, then allows all the locally elected members from the five Pacifica stations signal areas to choose among themselves the members of three other bodies. These three bodies serve most of the functions of the present Pacifica National Board. Listener sponsors have no direct choice of who is to sit on those higher bodies. Why?
Carol, are you there? Hello? Well, looks like we just lost Carol. We're going to go to New York. Mimi, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, we do have a little wait for Carol to get back on to us, but why don't we start with you and tell us your take on the bylaws?
Well, I am still in the process, to be honest about it, since I got them yesterday, of studying both Rob Robinson and Carol Spooner's bylaws.
Yeah.
But I think it should be noted that conceptually, both of the proposals differ from what has been advocated by what is loosely being called now the Unity Collective in New York, insofar as we are at a more seminal point. And what I mean by that is that we remain concerned about the level of diversity, inclusion, and politicality of all levels of governance of the network. For us, that starts with having local station boards that are much more comprehensive in their racial and in their class makeup are than the KPFA one, and I say that with all due respect and affection for the efforts of my colleagues in KPFA. But in New York, we're working on a fundamentally different premise, at least myself and a number of other people, and that is to figure out how we wind up with a board that protects the network on the local level and the national level. And the way to protect it is not merely by the written word, and I say this with full knowledge of what the written word means since I'm a lawyer and I deal with these things all the time.
Mimi, we're going to make a little parenthesis here on your question because we just got Carol back. We're going to go back to her question and we're going to get back at you.
Okay.
Carol.
Thank you.
Hi. Hello, hello.
We do have a question regarding the bylaws new post that you have. Describe it for us, please.
Well, there are two drafts, review working drafts out there. They're works in progress. One of them, the listeners directly elect a national board of 10 people, and those 10 can select five additional at-large directors. And that is the board of directors of the Pacifica Foundation with all the authority for the foundation in preserving and protecting it. The listeners under that model also elect for each station area a local advisory board that ascertains the needs of the community, reviews policies at the station, and advises the general manager of each station. But those would not be governing bodies. So that's one model. And there is another model out there that has each of the listeners at all five stations directly electing directors. The directors would be by station area, so each station would have a local board of 18 directors. Actually, that model has one-third of those directors elected by the staff members inside the station and two-thirds of those members directors elected by the listener subscribers. Those would be 18 directors for each station, and those five boards would be the National Board of Directors of Pacifica Foundation. So there would be 90 directors of the Pacifica Foundation.
Let's go back to Mimi to get a response from her. Mimi, you heard...
Well, wait a minute.
Yes.
I just need to make one other thing clear.
Yes, please. Go right ahead.
That board would operate by committees. There would be five local station board committees, and those station boards would choose from among themselves a national committee that would be responsible for national initiatives, and a national finance committee that would be responsible for budgeting, and a national program committee that would be responsible for oversight of programming.
Mimi, your take on it?
Well, first of all, I must say that it's nice to hear from Carol, and I always welcome her input, as I do Rob Robinson's. They have committed a great deal to the preservation of the network over these years. I have not had a full opportunity, nor have my colleagues in New York, to view and analyze either Carol or Rob's latest contribution. But notwithstanding that, there still is, at least on perusal of the documents, a fundamental conceptual concern that we have.
Which is?
The conception is that you start from the reality of what is going to preserve the network. And as I was saying, it's not merely words and bylaws that preserve the network. It has to be an essential political ideology that is willing to take risk at times of strife and stress and aggression by neoliberal and right-wing forces that have long challenged the existence of Pacifica. And so with that, form does follow function, and that means for us that we need to have a political base who is willing to preserve the station. The way to get that political base is to have a far larger degree of involvement in the communities and to have far more communities involved and to go beyond just the immediate conception of the individual listener sponsor as voting in either the local boards and then either whether it's a derivative or a direct consensus model that elects the directors of the national board. For us, in a nutshell, we feel it is imperative to have an inclusion model beyond proportional representation, beyond affirmative action, that reaches out its political tentacles into the oppressed communities of the city and creates opportunity for those individuals to come together. And what we're looking at is much more of a kind of bicameral situation where there's something that might look somewhat like our House and Senate with popular groups of people of color, of the newly oppressed immigrant groupings, particularly at this juncture from the Arab and Muslim communities, etc. So while we haven't worked out the nuts and bolts of the exact numbers, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak, we do feel that what's missing from these documents is an inclusion of the politics that will thwart neoliberalism,
thank you,
which
Mimi.
Is what nearly destroyed us in this last period.
Thank you,
it wasn't the right wing.
Thank
Mimi,
you so
we'll
much.
Have to interrupt you right
of
there.
Of course.
We do have a guest in the studio,
which I'd like to introduce right now. Jonathan Markowitz is a member of the KPFK Bylaws Subcommittee. Jonathan, you've heard Carol Spooner's reply, and in your view, what difference does it make in terms of the Pacifica mission whether or not listeners are able to vote for these boards or committees directly?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for inviting me to this discussion. I also want to mention that there are actually quite a few models, not only Carol's and Rob Robinson's. Mimi, of course, has put forward a proposal that was discussed in the communities actually about a month or two ago on the West Coast anyway. And I want to say there are also many other proposals and models that go back actually quite a few years. I'm hoping that this continued programs will deal with these models in addition to the ones that were just released yesterday. I'm in the same situation in Mimi, as Mimi expressed, in the sense that I haven't really had time to go completely over Carol's proposal, although I do have a number of questions that may go beyond the one you just asked. But to answer your question, I think that if local boards are elected by staff and listeners, as Carol suggests, I think that those who are electing those members basically have an intent. In other words, when candidates present their ideas, let's say in candidate forums where listeners have a chance to interview candidates, hear what their platforms are and the like, I think that in a way that listeners are not necessarily making their decision based upon what specific committee, let's say the three committees of the national board that Carol is outlining. In other words, a listener or a staff member is basically voting for that person who he thinks or he, she thinks will best represent their concerns. In Carol's proposal, one person is voted for by each listener member, if I'm not mistaken, Carol. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's one person, one vote, and the top vote getters get elected, or we use a proportional representation system where if you get a certain percentage of the vote, you're seated.
Right. Okay, well, again, you know, after, let's say, the election of the station board, and then the station board has then the power to pick five people, starting with the chair of that board, who would then go on to the national committee, two other of those five elected by the station board to go on the national committees would go also on the national committee, and then the remaining two, one would go on the programming committee and the other would go on the budget committee. Is that correct, Carol?
Well, not quite. It's fairly accurate. The,
okay.
The station board would elect three members to sit on the national committee.
Right.
But don't you think...
The treasurer of the local board would sit on the budget committee,
okay,
and the national budget committee, and two members of the local board would sit on a national program committee.
Okay, well, my point, again, is that when a listener or a staff member is voting and they have one person they're going to vote for, I think that they should have a right to determine which committee.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, I think that the listeners... I would prefer that listeners actually have a chance to vote for those five.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I would prefer listeners to be able to vote for the full slate of the station board,
mm-hmm,
for example, and maybe the top five vote getters. Then those would be applied into a pool of national board or national committee members. You see,
how is it that we can determine, though, in a brief interview heard on the air, and how can we make such an important decision of that when those interviews are so brief? How can we make those important kinds of decisions?
Well, I mean, my assumption is that not only a change in bylaws will happen, but a radical change in culture in terms of the way the democratic process happens. I would definitely insist in any of these bylaws that there be provisions added, or shall we say riders almost, that stipulate that we have a really comprehensive candidate review process that is not only on air, but in the communities. And this would help serve Mimi's concern about, comprehensive and inclusion and diversity in those communities. I did want to address one thing Mimi brought up, but maybe I can do that later. So,
well, I'd like to know, I mean, even to me, I understand democracy is actually what we're trying to achieve. It's a very slow process, and we do need a radical change toward democracy, but it's such a slow process, and... How do we account for that slowness when there are a chance for the elites to get control of it?
Mimi, you want to take it?
I'm sorry, it was very hard to hear.
How do we account for that slow progress or process when people can come in and grab that control?
We want to stop the elite from taking over. That's what she said.
Is there some sort of base recall?
Right.
In
well,
any of these?
First of all, I don't think that we stop the takeover by virtue of bylaws. Let me be very clear. For 40 years, our station, Plus, in New York, had functioned, and it functioned with the current set of bylaws intact. We survived McCarthyism, we survived the red baiting, the national chauvinism around the Vietnam period, etc. And the reason we did so is because we had an essentially politicized audience that was willing to be combative with the forces of reaction. So I feel that bylaws are imperative to have, but I feel less inclined than others to rush to complete them before I am satisfied that the base that makes up the composition, the essence of who governs the station is really rooted amongst the people and rooted amongst people who have been rooted in struggle and are willing to seek the empowerment of the disenfranchised and thwart the efforts of government or other forces that would destroy the progressive content that we hope is part of our network. So for me, I'm less worried, nor do I believe, and I say this again as an attorney who understands that words are important, but social activism is more important. We almost lost our network to not the right, but the social democratic forces, which are the same kind of forces that are in power all over Europe.
Maybe, but we also had a listenership that was basically in the dark about the stations. Now the listeners are going to have voting control. How are they going to become knowledgeable voters? Any ideas?
Well, that's exactly by what you're doing right now. Exactly by what you're doing now. There are two things that I think need to most immediately happen. Three things. One, there has to be a restoration of folios in every single area, and those folios have to go out to more than the subscribership. And they should be folios that engage the listenership as to the internal workings of the station, as well as colorful and important articles of general information about programming content and social events. Two, the network has to become much more firmly rooted in the events and conscience of the political activist movement, the anti-war activities in this country, the movement to for independence around Puerto Rico, around reparations, so that people know that we are, in so many ways, while eclectic and diverse, but we are the voice to empower the voiceless. The third thing that needs to be done is to use both our airwaves and, I think, to convene a national summit where progressive peoples and people of goodwill come together to look at the function of progressive media in the new millennium and collectively begin to figure out from the technologizing, the funding, and the content what it is that Pacifica as a network can do to act as a better handmaiden, if you will, for the various movements of the ecological base, for human rights, for civil liberties, and all the other, for peace and justice causes that are
Mimi,
out
let
there.
Me stop you right there. We need to remind the audience that this is KPFK Los Angeles 90.7 FM. We have a discussion on the new Democratic Pacifica, how to elect the board of directors. And joining us on the phone, Carol Spooner. She's secretary of the Interim Pacifica National Board. She's talking to us from up north in California, from New York City. Mimi Rosenberg. She is a member of the local advisory board in New York City. Here in the studio, Jonathan Markovics of the Los Angeles Subcommittee, Bylaw Subcommittee, in the studio with me, Paul Solomon, and I'm Fernando Velasquez. We're going to be opening the phones in about 5 minutes, so please write a note, write the number down, 818-985-5735. But first, we're going to go to Carol.
I have a question for you, Carol. Why did you structure your bylaws proposal? Why did you structure them so that all the local boards are directly elected, but they don't have governing power?
I'm very sorry, but I can't hear you. So could Fernando, I can hear you just fine. Could you repeat the question?
Can I ask you if you can hear me better now? Maybe it's this microphone. Go ahead, Fernando.
Fernando?
Well, I guess I'm going to try Fernando's microphone. Does that help?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, great. Thanks. Well, I have a question about the way you structured your proposal so that all local board members are directly elected, but they don't have all the governing power. So how do we get around that?
They actually do have all of the governing power over the local stations. And those members, there's nobody else who has governing power except the local board members. the local board members select among themselves who will sit on national committees that address national issues. So the way I see it is it's the perspective, the national perspective will always be originating from these five local committees, or five local boards, and the local stations will be our base, and our local communities will be our base. And it won't be coming from a removed board that is a national board that where the direction for the stations won't be coming from a top-down board. It will be local. Now,
well, what do you think of Jonathan's proposal that the voters in each signal area should get to vote for who is on the national committees?
Well, that might be workable. I don't have an immediate reaction saying that that would not be workable. It certainly could be possible to do it that way. Candidates would need to state which committee they'd want to serve on. Certainly not everyone would feel qualified to be a treasurer and handle money. Certainly not everyone would feel that they had the time to serve on the national committee, which would be an extra time commitment. Certainly not everyone would feel necessarily that they wanted to be on the program oversight committee for all five stations. Their interests might be more local, but I don't see any reason why it couldn't be done that way.
But Carol, wouldn't direct elections like the lead at, like that lead to the most well-known people getting the most votes, perhaps?
Well, you know, I think I can just what I can really tell you is based on my experience with two elections at KPFA. Yes, the top vote getters in both of our elections were people who were well known. Everyone else was people who just came out of the communities, the activist communities, the media communities, the local groups that were working on peace and social justice or issues, unions, and so forth. Those were the people who were not widely known, but were very credible and made credible statements and went to candidates' forums and went on the air and stated who they were. So, yeah, if you're very well known, certainly you might get the most votes, but you'd be one of 18 people.
Do you think there's any way to write some sort of transparency into the bylaws so that those kinds of hidden issues don't get known by the listeners again?
What kinds of hidden issues?
Well,
for instance, the strategic plan for Pacifica was adopted and imposed from the top down without anybody really knowing about it.
That would be a good one.
Well, I think that one of the reasons why we need a democratic Pacifica is precisely to prevent that, because when you have elections, you have to talk about what the issues are. You have to state what your position is. Somebody will bring it up, and you're going to have to answer those questions. And so all of the issues that face very serious issues, the very kinds of things that Mimi is mentioning, all of those issues will be facing Pacifica over the next several years. It's going to take a long time to turn this ship around and really fully assume our place in alternative media in this country.
Carol, let me stop you right there. We're going to remind our audience that this is KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM. This is KPFK Matters. This is a program designed, hopefully, to bring a new form of democracy, not only in the United States, but also in the media, progressive media in the United States. Perhaps we can pioneer a new line of thinking among our workers in the media in this country. In the meantime, we're going to stick to the listeners. We're going to open the phones at 818-985-5735 is the number to call for anyone interested in participating on this forum. From New York City, we have Mimi Rosenberg, a member of the local advisory board in New York City. We hear from up north, Carol Spooner, from the Subcommittee on Bylaws of the IPMB, the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting. In the studio with us, Jonathan Markowitz, Markowitz of the Los Angeles Subcommittee on Bylaws. Here in the studio, Paulo Salomon and Fernando Velasquez. Please take the time, walk to the telephone, and participate in the new Democratic Pacifica, 818-985-5735. While you do that, we're going to take a short musical break. Don't go away. Again, this is KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM. Fernando Velasquez speaking to you today at 1:31 in the afternoon. Right next to me in the studio, Paula Solomon and Jonathan Markowitz. On the telephone line from New York City, Mimi Rosenberg, member of WBAI Bylaws Committee. From up north in California, we have Carol Spooner. She is a member of the Interim Pacifica National Board Subcommittee on Bylaws. And we it's your turn for us and you and everybody else to get involved and discuss the future of KPFK, the future of the Pacifica Foundation, how are we going to run this network for the good of everybody involved. So,
thank you so much, Fernando. One thing I'd like to add is that I'm also a member of the Bylaws Committee in Los Angeles here. We're going to be taking listeners' comments on the line, listeners' questions and comments. We'd like people to keep them brief and as polite as possible. And we will get answers. That's what this program is designed to do. Great. But since I have the microphone, I'd like to take just a slight prerogative of the mic to put out that we have something really unique, and that is a national network of a very different sort. It's non-commercial, which means that we're not influenced by profit motive. And what I would like to know from everyone, and you can answer this as you answer other people's questions. It's okay. I don't want to take time right now from the listeners, but we have an opportunity to know what's going on in all the rest of the country as well, and I'd like to see perhaps some way that we can get a little bit more in touch with all of the rest of the Pacifica stations that are happening, that are broadcasting all over the country, so that we can be more. I mean, we here in California, I think we take the, a little bit of ourselves maybe isolated and seriously. Now, anyway, we're going to go to Frank on line one.
Frank, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'd like to hear what some of the thoughts are about the issue of this the new structure, this new governing structure is being structured by activists, limited community of activists, of which, you know, I would proudly call myself one. But I remain very concerned about the fact that I think there's a large listenership and a lot of valid issues that are out there that are not necessarily represented within the activist community and within the parameters of which groups are being defined currently in these discussions, and what the thoughts are, or if there's going to be an attempt to include some of those other interest groups.
Okay, Jonathan, you got something to respond to that?
Yes, well, there actually have been many listener groups that have existed or been started up and faded out, and other groups, come to the forefront or in the community. It's granted, you're correct, there are a lot of listeners that are not represented, and part of what's going to happen in this transition, at least I'm hoping that it happens, because I have been involved in bylaws, drafting for actually going back to 1997, is that more and more programming will address this, the listeners will get interested, find out more about where these discussions are taking place in the community, because it is a difficult, time-consuming process. It's not something that's just going to happen just by snapping our fingers, and it has to be done. So I'm hoping that you and whomever else you know that may be interested can get involved, call the station, check out some of the websites, get involved in some of the email list discussions and the like. And by the way, somebody's handing me some information here. Okay. There's a WBAI Net, www.wbainet.net, which has a number of the proposals that many people around the country in all the signal areas have put forward for discussion, and also serious proposals that are completely fleshed out. So I do encourage you to keep get involved.
Now we're going to go to Jerry on line two.
You're on the air, Jerry. Oh, my goodness, we lost him. Jerry? Okay, we go to Paul. Paul, hello. You're on the air, brother.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I want to thank Carol, especially Carol and Jonathan, for at least trying to make clear and succeeding to some extent what is incredibly complex. Mm-hmm. However, I want to make a point and then ask a question. I think, I'm sorry to say, now I've been involved, as people on the air might know, some of them, in this particular process, the bylaws process, from the beginning. Hearing this program, for me, and I've been involved now for weeks and months, it was like listening to Shakespeare or reading Chaucer. I think I understood every second word, maybe. I think, by and large, what has been said so far is largely incomprehensible, I believe, will be largely incomprehensible to most of the listeners.
No offense.
I didn't understand much of it. Too complicated for me. Mm-hmm. And so, and I say, I've been involved with it from the beginning. That's first. So, second, I have a question especially for Carol. Carol, now the documents, this now the station origin coming from you and the National Board, the statement of bylaws, which is, now what happens next? Where does it go? Where does your document, and now there's a second document from a gentleman, I can't think of his name, Rob Robinson or something?
That's correct.
Those two documents, which come from the five statements from the different stations of proposed bylaws, you've now looked at those five different station documents, now come up with your two documents. By the way, another compliment, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate the emphasis on listener membership on these various committees. But in any case, your two documents that are coming back, to whom are they going, and what then happens? What is next?
Well, I want to say three things. First, I believe there should be cards played on KPFK where the bylaws subcommittees meet and times and places and dates. People who want to get involved should go to those meetings, because it takes 4 or 5 hours to talk about something we have 30 minutes to talk about. So that's to address your it's incomprehensible comment, Paul. It really, you know, we
not
do the
your,
best
not
we
your
can.
Fault.
The next, to answer your last question, under the legal settlement agreement, we are on a timeline where we must adopt bylaws. And the provisions in the legal settlement agreement are that we need to do it by the end of this year and get our local boards elected by the end of this year. There are some provisions for an extension if we absolutely must have it. What happens is that two segments of the bylaws, how the local boards are elected and how the national boards are elected, must be approved by 3 out of 5 of the current existing local advisory boards, the ones sitting now. They have the vote up or down, so 3 of them have to agree on something that says how the local and national boards will be elected. The remainder of the bylaws, and including those provisions, must be approved by 2/3 of the current interim board of directors. That's the process. Those are the people with the votes, the current local advisory boards and the current interim national board.
Thank you for that answer.
Wait a second.
We have Jerry back
Excuse me?
We have, a switchboard full of people trying to participate, Mr. Paul.
Yeah, I just asked one question.
Yes, please be brief, because we want other people to get involved.
From what I understand, then, it is now out of the hands of the listeners.
The local subcommittees that have been working on these ideas, brainstorming, have a lot of input, but they don't have a vote. That's right.
Okay.
What we are doing is creating a system where you will have a vote in the future, but those with the vote right now are the current local advisory boards and the current national board.
Okay, thank you.
Carol, how many drafts are there going to be from this
first draft?
This is Jonathan.
I don't know. Right now there are 2 working drafts.
Mm-hmm.
I expect they will go through some iterations. Our idea, our aim is to bring about something that 3 of the 5 local boards can agree on and 2/3 of the national board. So there's going to be some more synthesizing, some exchanges back and forth. At www.pacifica.org, there is a bulletin board being created right now where people can make suggestions. Those suggestions will be forwarded to the entire board of directors.
Carol, we're going to go back to our caller. We just lost Jerry. He's back. Jerry, please say your thing. Participate. Be with us.
Hello.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Yeah. My concern is that with KPFK, at least, there's very little focus. What the station mainly achieves is making people aware of the political shenanigans which are going on in this country today. and the lack of objective reporting. You are capable of doing that. When I tell somebody about what they should listen for on KPFK and they turn in, they get 3 hours of exotic Persian music. I don't understand that lack of focus in a day when all radio stations have a focus as to what they are trying to achieve. Could you perhaps address this?
Well, actually, this is not the program for that.
Yeah,
we're
discussing bylaws, right?
We're discussing bylaws, and we will have future programs on programming. In fact, we have an ongoing committee that's making an attempt to make that a more democratic process as well. And we will put cards on the air as to when that committee meets, and you're welcome to participate. We need all of the listener participation we can get in that. So I'm sorry to cut you off on this one, Jerry. It's been noted, and a lot of people have those same concerns. But we're going to go to Ron on line 5.
Thank you, sir. Ron, go right ahead.
Hi. Hello, anybody there?
Yeah. Everyone is listening. Go ahead,
hi.
Ron.
Yes, I have the same concerns about the station and how things will work out with this. I was thinking about 1994 when we did have a nice manager there. He was Cliff Roberts. He was a black football player, as I remember. He was doing a good job. Up in Pacifica, up in, I think, Berkeley, Pat Scott was the one who changed everything. She sort of got rid of everybody. They threw out all the people who were all kinds of interesting scientists and stuff like that, and just very articulate people who had programs, and all of them were junked, including the manager. And they put on a bunch of blacks who were just all racist, anti-Semitic, anti-Korean, anti-white, and who I'm just thinking of the one, Nzinga Heru. Every time she came on, everybody, the Jews are the enemy. Then they had Richard Byrd, who said the Jews are the Mongol
Run,
people.
Run, what does this
Mongol
have to
God.
Do with bylaws?
He's still on there. He's still on KPFK, and he's totally anti-Semitic, racist. And then
please make a link, establish a connection.
Okay.
What does it have to do with bylaws?
What's going to happen now? Because I've heard various black, broadcasters or other people on KPFK saying, we wish we could get back the way it was. They mean the racist, you know, hate radio, where we used to have good stuff, which is supposed to be in the sense of having harmony in the community. That's the basic bylaws of KPFK, to promote harmony, and these guys are definitely not into that. So that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your call, Ron. We're going to go move right along with the next person. But, Jonathan, please.
Well, I wanted to mention, Ron, that, you know, one of the main issues that we're going through with this bylaws writing and ratification process is going to be specifically determining how programming decisions are made. So hopefully you'll be able to get involved in that process. And so it was just mentioned by Paula that there is committee forming about that and other mechanisms.
Line 7, no name. Please go right ahead. Hello?
Thank you for taking my call. This is Sasha from Los Angeles. And, boy, this is so complex, but I'm very grateful that this program is being aired. And I guess I just want to resonate with the caller who reminded us about the folio or the absence thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And that until we actually get one in print version, I think, you know, we really need to make sure that that gets up and running, that can be done, you know, like within hours or days online.
Sasha, please allow me to interrupt you. We are trained to have a discussion on bylaws and how we're going to elect the Pacifica National Board and Board of Directors, so we can have
I've heard at least two people now who've said that while they're attentive, they find the material very dense, very turgid and confusing, and those of us who are even obsessed with it find that to be the case. So it seems to me that it is incumbent upon us to figure out flow charts, folios, ways of communicating to a greater number of listeners who may not be able to attend every meeting, because obviously a well-informed listener is where our strength ultimately lies, no matter what the final governance structure looks like at this juncture. So
Mimi, you're absolutely right.
That has,
you know, and there's
process.
Another thing, too.
Folio is currently being developed, and we expect to have a new one in the near future. So, Mimi, you're right on target, but it's already we are working on it as we speak.
Thank you.
But maybe a way of putting out some things in a more simplified fashion. As I said, I'm a big believer in graphics and flowcharts to a broader audience of listeners that merely are tuned in at a specific moment or come to meetings might be incumbent upon us as part of that democratization and participation process.
Mimi, your point is very well taken. We're going to thank Sacha for calling us.
Wait.
Yes.
I just wanted to... Hello?
Please be brief.
We have
a lineup of people
trying
to participate.
Okay, I just wanted to say, exactly what I was saying. If it's more graphically represented, then it can be kind of, in a way, objectified for all people to see.
Very good point,
the ideas can be represented so, you know, we can make... Until we get this solved and completely hashed out, the purpose of the folio can be exactly for discussing bylaws. And
that's great.
The
we
Good Light
so
Board
much.
And all the other boards and everything are all good. But if we can come to, like, this thing where we have a consensually agreed-upon way of representing these ideas where that all the people are dialoguing and putting them out so that they're in one uniform, you know...
Yes, and that's a really
place.
Good way to develop it. We're having so much good participation here. We're going to go to Lerner, and thank you, Sasha. We're going to go to Lerner on line 12.
Lerner, go right ahead.
Yes, I appreciate this.
Please speak up, Lerner.
Hello, I appreciate this opportunity to get involved with the specific governance here on the air. I think it's a great idea. I've been involved with Pacifica on and off when I've lived in listener areas for about 20 years. I've also been involved with other community radio stations. One of the ones I liked the best was where the listener subscribers elected 100% of the governing board and a programming board. I'm wondering if there's any bylaw proposals that include this option.
I will respond to that.
Ms.
Yes,
Carol
that
Spooner.
Has been under discussion. That is something that has been considered. And in fact, under the Robinson proposal, the listeners elect 100%, actually, they elect 10 out of 15 directors, and the directors then select 5 more. But there's another stream of thought, which is that our producers and programmers are essential to the process of running a radio station, have a great deal to offer in the way of knowledge and perspective, and have committed many, hundreds of them are committing volunteer time to do this, and that their input is very important, too. So there's another stream of thought that says we need to have some of our directors elected by them.
Carol, thank you very much. Now we're going to go to Mr. Tom on line 8. Go right ahead, sir. Tom? No one there.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
My concern is this. I have been listening to KPFK for about 30 years now, and I can't remember what year it was, but there used to be a Native American Red Earth news on program. And I hear that you want to develop something that has not existed before, and you mentioned participatory democracy. Well, I just want to point out that there is a model of participatory democracy, and that model is the Six Nations or Iroquois Confederacy. So it would be appropriate, I think, to begin at the beginning, which is looking at Native peoples and the models of participatory democracy that were developed among Native peoples, which, by the way, were the somewhat of a model and inspiration for the creation of the United States democratic system.
Sir, we want to thank you. Yes, that's a wonderful idea.
If the founding fathers looked to those models, why not KPFK consider as guidelines? You know, doesn't have to replicate exactly.
Tom, can you participate in the bylaws committee? Can you come to the meeting?
By the way, I'm calling you from a phone on the road. I'm a teacher. I work in a school. I think KPFK needs to function like a university of the air and as a cultural center, a multicultural center. And, you know, we need to find out what's happening in the planet, in the nation, in the local community, and so on. And the structure for what it is that KPFK is supposed to do, it's already been created in the mission statement. I think that's a very good beginning there. And then as far as the governance goes, what I'm proposing, look at the model of the Iroquois Confederacy.
Thank you. And we'd like to really welcome that participation. Jonathan would like to say something, and then we're going to go to Sandra on line one.
Quickly, I had a comment about the previous caller, Lerner, and I'm sorry I didn't speak up then. I think what Lerner was addressing or concerned about was whether or not listeners would have the power to select programming council members. In other words, the control of programming or decisions about programming should be, according to, well, Lerner's point, should have a lot to do with listener control. And so I think that was the question he was addressing.
Jonathan, don't you think that we should address this question when we do the program about the programming council, perhaps?
It will definitely come
right
up
now,
then.
We're going to go. Yes, we're going to go. We have very few women participating on this program. However, we do have Sandra and Lupe. So we're going to go to Sandra next. Go right ahead, Sandra.
Hello. Greetings to everybody. Three quick things. What is the term? How long is the national boards and local boards elected for? Do we still have the same lawyer? I heard on the last national committee meeting, public meeting, that we were using the same lawyer as from the old days. Is this still in effect? And also, what about terming the programs as well, so that they're rolling over all the time and then there's no argument about who's on the air and who's not? It's just time, you know, 6 months, change. Thank you.
Let's see.
Carol?
Questions in order. In both proposals that are out there now, the terms of national directors are 3 years, elected in staggered terms, a third each year. There's another suggestion that they be shorter, that they be 2 years, and that, you know, anything is up for grabs. It could be 2 years, but the proposals out there now are three.
Thank you.
Are we still using the same lawyer? Pacifica has had the same FCC counsel for about 18 years. His name is John Krigler. We do not currently have a general counsel for Pacifica.
Will he have input on these bylaws?
No, other than to see that we're in compliance with any FCC regulations, which are really pretty immaterial to the bylaws.
If we're making a new start,
we will get a legal review. We're searching for an attorney who will be affordable because we're in a cash crisis. Who's also expert in California on nonprofit law.
Yes.
Okay. We have Lupe. We need to apologize. I'm sorry, but we are running out of time. We are going to take one more phone call. Lupe, Señor Guadalupe, please go right ahead.
I didn't. The reason I called was these issues sound incredibly important, and I barely caught the fact that you were on today. And I know anyway, what I wanted to say was, since they are so important, why can't you allot more time for this? It seems like everybody's getting rushed off, and everybody's getting rushed about what they have to say. And if they're not super articulate and have radio trained voices, then they get rushed off even faster. So the purpose of Pacifica is to have the regular people come on and have a voice here. So if they're not so articulate, then you know they just get shoved away. I would like to hear more feminist voices on, and in the past, my experience has been with bylaws is that sometimes they get used to keep some people out or to use it as a force for certain groups.
Your comments are very well taken. Usually, this program is supposed to be 2 hours long. This week, we're doing an exception. We are hopeful that this extra hour that was reduced from today, it will be compensated and at a later day, perhaps next week. But you're absolutely right. Such a complex issues do require time for discussion. So unfortunately, we are running out of time. We're just going to have to say goodbye to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Mimi.
Yes, could I miss?
Is that Mimi?
No,
okay.
Carol,
go right ahead.
I do want to say that under one of the bylaws provisions, we are requiring that at least 50% of the board be women, and at least 50% of the board be people of color. You mentioned feminism. That's one of the proposals.
Thank you, Carol.
And if I may just say from New York, I've learned today again
that we have to think of ways of putting things out that are digestible even for people who may be coming in the middle or are new to the process. And it's incumbent upon us to figure out ways of communication. After all, that's what we do, that are digestible and will help people become fuller and more complete participants and empowered to preserve this wonderful,
Mimi, wonderful network. On that note, we're going to have to stop you because we need to move out of the studio. Thank you very much for participating. Mimi Rosenberg from the Bylaws Committee from the Local Advisory Board in WBAR New York City. From Carol Spooner, calling us, joining us from Santa Rosa, California. She is a member of the Interim Pacifica National Board Committee. Here in the studio, Jonathan Markowitz of the KPFK Bylaws Committee. And
Paula Solomon, and muchas gracias.
Hasta luego, Fernando Velázquez, que tenga muy buen día.
This is 90.7 FM, KPFK Los Angeles, also streaming on the web at kpfk.org.